We certainly live in a difficult time for many reasons, as we've said a number of times over the last months in different message introductions. But I know personally that some of our brothers and sisters in this assembly are being called upon at this moment in time to face some challenges that are very, very difficult. And we won't elaborate and we won't be personal about those, but it just happens to be their turn on the providential wheel. As Brother Pierce preached many years ago, someone in North Carolina reminded me of that, brother, and it has stuck with them. And a long time ago, Brother Pierce mentioned the wheel of providence and how sometimes we're on the top of that wheel and sometimes we're on the bottom of that wheel. But all of that is the wheel of God's providence, and He's the one that's turning that wheel, and it's to Him we must look and to Him we must trust. And He has purposes in the wheel of providence for all of us. So we'll want to think about that. It's interesting to me that Brother Mark in his Sunday school lesson this morning was dealing with God's providence and its purpose and many things about that. And so John referenced that in his talk to us this morning. You know, one of the things that John mentioned was, I think he used the phrase that the experiences, although they were difficult, and rapidly changing in his life, in Sarah's life, that I think he used the phrase, they were learning and developmental experiences. And I kind of hung on to that phrase because God deals with us in that kind of a way. He brings or allows experiences in our life that are sometimes very challenging. Sometimes they hurt. Sometimes they are difficult. Sometimes we can't imagine how we are going to get through this or how this is going to turn out well. But they can be categorized, as John talked about his, as learning and developmental experiences that God purposes in our lives for good if we are His. And John, and chapter 5 of Romans certainly speaks to that truth. And we'll read some verses there. Let's begin at verse 1 and read down through verse 9. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, we might insert, worketh experience. And experience worketh hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for this beautiful Lord's Day. We thank You for the testimony that John has shared with us. And we thank You for the testimony of the Apostle Paul in the Word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ and Your purpose for bringing tribulation into the lives of those You love and those that you sent your Son to die for, that we might have the forgiveness of our sins and the certainty of eternal life with thee. Help us, dear Father, to preach your word in the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. We know that we cannot do that. You must do that. You promise us your Holy Spirit when we ask, and we're asking this morning for your Holy Spirit to come forth and preach through us, to speak through us, that Christ might be exalted, that your word might be honored, and that all of your people might be well fed this morning. Father, especially for those of our number we pray for, whose turn it is to be on the wheel of affliction. In your good providence, you have allowed affliction to enter their lives, sorrow and grief of large magnitude in some case. We pray, Father, that you will use this experience for good. And speak to them, especially this morning, as well as all of us, because we'll all have a turn. Most all of us have had a more than one turn. And we know that in this world and in this life, we'll be called upon undoubtedly, should the Lord delay his coming, to experience sorrow and grief and tribulation yet again. Let us seize these things as opportunities to glorify thee, dear Lord, and let us be found trusting thee, understanding that you loved us and gave your Son to die for us. Therefore you will, as we read in Romans chapter 8, spare no good thing from those you love. Let us trust in that and find comfort in that, find hope in that, even when our circumstances seem utterly hopeless. Thank you for John. We thank you for his safety, his return home with his family. We thank you for the reunion they're enjoying. We thank you for his service to this country. Bless him and them. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's interesting, as I was thinking about this passage in Romans chapter 5 about tribulation, as we think about the sorrow that is a part of some of the lives of our friends and brothers and sisters in this very room today. We think about the phrase that John used, that these experiences, these difficulties, these challenges, the disruptions were learning and developmental experiences. And essentially, that is exactly what Paul said. That is exactly what God said in Romans chapter 5, when he was able to say that we glory in tribulation. Now, I don't know if you can say that yet. I have a hard time saying that. But Paul said it, and Paul is an example to every believer, isn't he? As he follows Christ, he encourages us to follow him. And he said, we glory in tribulation. We're able to embrace it as God's people because we understand some things. We understand that God has purposed this for our good as a developmental and a learning experience, that we might more be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might be more useful in his hand. And I remember using this passage, John, I think the first time you went on deployment overseas. You were actually in ranger training at that time. And I preached from this text. Maybe you remember that. I remember it. And it served as an interesting illustration for me. I know that was a very difficult challenge in your life. And it was not an easy challenge. Perhaps one of the hardest challenges that he had to face. What the army put him through in those difficult environments, under those difficult experiences, demanding more than the ordinary individual could endure and survive. And I forget what the percentage is, but a large percentage that go into Army Ranger training don't make it. But those that do come out the other end of all of that challenge, all of that hurt, all of that deprivation, all of that suffering, all of that reaching deep inside, all of that questioning, can I get through this? They come out the other side much more useful to the United States Army than they were before they went through it. Now, brothers and sisters, God knows the same truth. This is the God of truth and all knowledge. This is the God that made us. And he knows what the army knows, that it is only by great difficulty, by severe challenges and testing, that we as his people can be made stronger, can learn to depend upon God more, can reach deeper into the pools of grace and love, and be made better and more useful in His service. And so, my brothers especially, and my sisters especially, whose time it is to be called upon, to go through some of the Lord's ranger training. Now, I sorrow with you. I've been through some of those experiences myself, enough to know at least the deepness of the hurt, the anguish of the uncertainty, the feelings of despair. But I find great comfort, and I hope that you will find great comfort here in understanding that God has a purpose in this, and that purpose is a good purpose for you and yours. And so Paul said, we glory in tribulations. What an amazing place by God's grace to be able to get to. Do you think that's a place that we could get to? I mean, after all, Paul was an apostle. He was a chosen vessel, but he was a human being. And he had a sinful nature that he tells us all about in Romans chapter 7. He had a lot of weaknesses. He knew himself to be a sinner. He knew what his weaknesses were. As a matter of fact, he begged the Lord in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 to take away some of the afflictions that he had because he felt that it hindered his ministry. But the Lord knew better. The Lord would not take those things away, that he might learn something more about the strength of the Lord that can only be made known in our weakness. Oh, we hate to be weak, don't we? We hate to realize that we can't control this situation. We're control people. We want to be in control. We want to be able to fix the problem. We want to solve the problem. We want to do what needs to be done. We want to be able to have the knowledge. We want to be able to have the strength. We want to be able to have the equipment, whatever it is, to get the job done. But God wants us to know we need Him. And that in essence, it doesn't matter how strong you are, brother, how strong you are, sister, we are weak. Weak in this world. That's something we don't like to face, we don't like to know, we don't like to understand. And we can control, and He allows us to control a limited number of things. But there are many things that we have absolutely no power over. We glory, Paul said. We revel, we embrace tribulation, knowing. Oh, Paul was the kind of disciple we should all want to be. Not wishing, not hoping when it comes to God, our Savior, but knowing. Not wishing or hoping that maybe the things that we read in God's Word, but knowing. Just like Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. We don't hope they do. We know they will. And that's the same thing. Paul said, we glory in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation is working according to God's purpose and plan for us. It's working so that we will have more experience with the one who died that we might live. The one who was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We need most desperately, in fact, the greatest need that we have is to know and to experience Jesus Christ in our life, not as a word on a page, not as a concept, not as merely a promise, but to know the power of Jesus Christ working in us and through us and with us. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, the only way to experience Christ in the depth and at the level that perhaps we've never experienced Him and known Him is through tribulation. God knows that. So He tells us that we're able to glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience and patience experience. You know, I've heard it said in the world that there's no substitute for experience when it comes to a job. You can have all the book learning you want. And you know, I've been learning from this book for 40-some years. And it doesn't matter how much I know of what God has written in His Word, there is still no substitute for experience. God knows that too. And what we learn in this book will not do us any good in His service if it doesn't become experience in our life. And the only way that it can become experience in your life, in many cases, to be on the downside of that wheel instead of the upside. But hang on tight and trust God in this, knowing with the Apostle Paul that tribulation worketh experience, and experience hope. We live in a hopeless world. Oh, the more you experience Christ, the more hope-filled your heart and your life will be, no matter how dark the day or the night, how untoward the circumstances, how upside down things become in your life. The more experience, brothers and sisters, that we have with Jesus Christ, active, real, living, and powerful in our lives, the more useful we'll be in His service, and the more hope that we'll have through it all. Oh, what a wonderful thing, hope in a hopeless world. Sometimes we lose ours. Sometimes ours is a little weak. Sometimes ours wavers. Sometimes we misplace it. Tribulation worketh experience. Experience hope. And hope that comes from Christ never makes us ashamed, never disappoints us. You know, John mentioned in his little discussion with us how often it is in the army. I like your story about what you had in mind. In 2014, going over to Kuwait, and I imagine he didn't say this, but I could kind of depict, and knowing, you know, I had the spirit of man too, and I kind of maybe know or imagine a little sanctified imagination, that he kind of thought it was going to be a picnic, and we would just have a good time over there, and it would be fun. And sometimes, you know, duty can be fun. And there wasn't going to be any bullets, and there wasn't going to be any real danger. We would just go over there and have a good time. It would be easy street. But the Army had a different plan. And as soon as he got there, he found that easy street was going to be conflict. We weren't going to be in the safety of Kuwait, which is very westernized, as I understand, and very liberalized in many ways, and very safe among the countries of the Middle East, but he was going into the thick of the battle. And it reminds me, you know, that often happens with the Lord. You know, we have an idea how this is going to play out, and this is going to be good, this is going to be fun, this is going to be nice. And when we get there, or when we get to the next day, God has a whole different set of orders. It's not what we planned. And once again, we're reminded that His ways are not our ways. His ways are always better than our ways. I like that idea. You know, the change of plans. I can't tell you how many times God has changed my plan. I had one thing in mind. He had something entirely different. I remember a Saturday morning, the Saturday morning that landed me in the ministry, a ministry that I had pushed back on for several years. And it was a Saturday morning. And I was looking forward to having a leisure Saturday morning. And that's when that phone rang, maybe you remember. And it was Sister Judy on the phone, and she said, "You're going to have to preach Jeanette's funeral. Brother Pierce is sick." I dropped the phone. Literally. I couldn't answer. I was speechless. I remember it well. And I ran out the back door behind the barn and fell on my knees under an oak tree. And I began to cry out unto the Lord, "Help, Lord. That which I feared most has come upon me." The Lord changed the plan. And He does that right regularly. He changed the plan. I remember I was planning, I volunteered to go up to North Carolina to help out with the widows, the first widows retreat up there. And I was planning to go up there and serve with my wife. I was looking forward to that. But I had a daughter who was having a difficult pregnancy, and so Bunny, as mothers are wont to do, wanted to stay by the stuff. That's what mothers are made of. That's what mothers do. They're not built like men. And so guess who I got to go to the widow's retreat with? Brother Pierce. Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon, you know, the odd couple. God's plans are different. He doesn't plan things the way he does. He's full of surprises. But you know something? That was the most wonderful trip that we've ever had together, wasn't it, brother? And we took Willene and we took Jeanette up there, and we had a ball. And I'll tell you what, the relationship that I came back from that mountain with those two widows has changed my life forever. And God knew that. I didn't know that. I wouldn't have planned that. I didn't want it that way. As a matter of fact, I quietly complained, not a little, as we are wont to do. But God's way was best. God's way is always best, even when He changes abruptly our plans. And He does that right regularly, doesn't He? You know, I referenced a couple of verses. I'd like to go while we have a few minutes remaining on this same topic. As we think about God's ways, we think about the tribulation and the change and the disruptions that He brings into our lives from time to time. And go to 2 Corinthians for just a couple of passages, that some of which we've preached from recently. I've been enjoying 2 Corinthians a lot this past year. And maybe you'll remember some of these. You know, Paul in the first chapter was speaking about some of the terrible tribulations that he experienced in Asia on the mission field. They wanted to kill him there, and they tried real hard. God assured him in Corinth that they wouldn't kill him because he had a lot of people there. He had work for him to do, and he was there a long time. But here in this particular, he says, I would not, brethren, in verse 8, have you ignorant of our trouble. Trouble is a part of the lives of God's people. Trouble is a reality, but understand this, that God never allows any trouble in the life of a believer, a follower, one who loves God and is called according to His purpose. He never allows trouble in your life that He won't use for His glory and your good. You can mark that down. You can take it to the bank. And here Paul reveals yet another thing. Look what he says. I would not have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. Some of you feel that way right now. I know you do, because you've shared with me a little bit about your present circumstances. And what a great description, being pressed out of measure, squeezed until you don't think you have anything left, squeezed until your strength is all gone. In fact, that's what he says, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, that's some trouble. When you're ready to give up even living, things have gotten so bad. Or it might be interpreted that we felt like we were going to die in this experience. Some of you have had experiences like that recently. I had an experience like that several years ago on a mountain in Peru. Chris and his family had an experience just a few months ago, very similar to that. It comes into the life of God's people. But in both of those circumstances, God used it. And listen to what Paul said. We had the sentence in verse 9 of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Oh, how hard it is to learn that lesson. Oh, how difficult it is for us to get really our arms around that. I'm not talking about just admitting, but to really not trusting in ourselves. I tell you, sometimes God has got to completely take the props out. Completely. So there's nothing left to trust in. And that sounds like what happened to Paul, but he again understood as God's servant, with the eyes of faith, with the counsel of the Lord in his ear. He understood with the leading of the Holy Spirit. He said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, verse 9, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead. Oh, that's where to place our trust. That's where to place our trust. And God knows that it is trouble that most readily brings us to our spiritual senses and makes us understand just how utterly, utterly dependent we are upon Him. Look at what he said in verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us even now, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. You know, that's a nice thing. That's one of the wonderful things about the experience that we spoke about in Romans chapter 5. Tribulation worketh experience, experience hope. Paul is applying some of that hope right here, right now in this verse, when he says, God delivered us from that great death. So we had an experience now in his pocket, and he was seeing some things. He's delivering us now. And based upon the past and the present, he had much more hope and confidence in his future with God, and we trust will yet deliver us. Tribulation worketh experience, experience hope, hope that maketh not ashamed. We come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul yet gives us another insight into affliction. You know, all we can base our thinking on many times is what we can see. And yet, the Bible tells us that we don't live by sight, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so thinking and feeling and responding and acting by what we see is not faith. Thinking and responding and acting by what God has said is faith. And it changes our perspective of the tribulation, the trial, the difficulty, the sorrow, the conflict, the disruption, the upside downness, the uncertainty, the loss, whatever it might be that God has allowed into your life. It gives it a fresh and a new and a much better perspective. And that's what we see here. In verse 16, though our outward man perish, that's what he sees, that's what he's experiencing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's an eternal perspective. Sometimes these afflictions seem like they're going on forever, that they never will end. I remember having an experience when I was in business years ago, and I was being pulled in so many directions, and just nothing looked good. The eyes couldn't see anything, any way out of this. If I looked to the east, all I saw was water. If I looked to the west, all I saw was water. And I felt literally, I had the thought, I feel like a man who's in the middle of the English Channel, and he's out of gas. He can't swim. He's tired, he's worn out, and it's just as far from to one side as it is to the other. That's how I felt. Maybe you have felt like that. Perspective. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's always working. God is always working in behalf of his people. God is always working in the affliction. God is always working in the deprivations. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and an eternal exceeding weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. Brothers and sisters who are going through this valley of the shadow of death right now, keep looking on the unseen things. Don't be distracted by the things you see. Look on those unseen things. This affliction is but for a moment. It really is. Like my mama used to say, son, this too shall pass. The Lord Jesus tells us this is going to pass. This is all very temporary. This light affliction is but for a moment. Let's look on the unseen things. And finally, one more place, and then we'll quit. 2 Corinthians also, and this time chapter 12. We made fleeting reference to this a moment ago. Most of you are certainly familiar with this, but again, the Apostle Paul found himself with an affliction, a physical affliction. We'll not enumerate or elaborate about the speculations involved in that, but it really doesn't matter. It was an affliction. It bothered him. He suffered from it. He felt it was an impediment to serving God, and he begged the Lord to remove it. You ever done that? I remember a dear pastor friend of mine who did that. And I won't go into all the details. He did it on more than one occasion. There were some things that entered his life as a parent, as a grandparent prospectively. And he begged the Lord to change. And finally, the Lord, like in this text that we're going to read in a minute, the Lord finally got through to him. And he changed his prayer from, "Lord, change the circumstances," to, "Lord, change me." Guess what he did? See, a lot of these circumstances, the Lord doesn't want to fix the problem. He wants to fix you. He wants to fix me. And Lord knows I need fixing all the time. That same pastor's life, you know, something else came up. His son was going to have, finally, long awaited, there was going to come a grandson. When they got those first sonograms of that little baby in there, the picture revealed that he only had one arm. Lord, change us. Oh, they love that little boy with one arm. Oh, that little boy with one arm is special. His name is Zach. He can throw a football. He can throw a basketball. He plays basketball on a team. He plays football on a team. He loves sports. And what a witness he is. How God is working in that little boy's life. I'll tell you, that little boy is special. But oh, Brother Dale, he would have prayed the Lord to take that away, to change those circumstances, to do differently about that. And so would I. Any of us would who were parents. We would pray to change that. The Lord wasn't pleased to change that. And the Lord has brought a blessing. I mean, poured out the blessings of heaven on that family through that little boy. They wouldn't take gold. They wouldn't go back now and ask the Lord to change anything about that little boy. He's got God's hand all over him. And he's brought such joy to that family. You see, that's the way our God works. But we want to change our circumstances. God doesn't want to change our circumstances. He wants to change us. He wants to conform you. He wants to conform me into the image of his dear son. He knows how to do that. And if you're his, he is doing that. So be glad for every stroke of the chisel, every stroke of the hammer. Be glad for that heat when he turns up the heat to melt that heart of stone, to melt that silver, to drive away a little more of that dross as the refiner is wont to do. And so we read and close with these thoughts from the Apostle Paul once again. He speaks about his affliction. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. He calls it the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So he understood he had pride in his heart. And pride is a wicked thing in God's eye, in any of our hearts. Paul understood he had a proud heart, as do we all. It is one of our biggest weaknesses of Adam's children. So God, he believed, had sent this messenger to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. And this thing, verse 8, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Brothers and sisters, his grace, that amazing grace, is sufficient for you where you are today. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Take that with you today. Remember that. Tuck it away. You're going to need it. My strength, says our Lord, is made perfect in your weakness. Your weakness. Your weakness. Paul continues, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. May the Lord bless his word to you.